Father, as we've gathered, we pray, God, that you will encourage our hearts tonight. May you please speak to our hearts by the way of your word. We want to remember the believers that are not here tonight, wherever they are. May you bless your people. We pray for our precious pastor also. May you bless him and his family. May you just quicken our hearts tonight. Just encourage us in your word, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. May we turn our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. We read chapter 3, verse 6. Hallelujah. Just part 2 of verse 6. This was Paul speaking to the Corinthians. Hallelujah. He said, "For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." Speaking of the word of God. "The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." May the Lord add blessings to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I don't know whether to preach or exalt. Hallelujah. Amen. I just like to say something. I have a message here, but I'll just maybe say one or two things here just to encourage our hearts tonight. Hallelujah. I want us to look at a thought that God brought to me, knowing God by experience. Hallelujah. Knowing God by experience. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We look in the scriptures, we look at the life of Moses. Moses, we know according to scripture, was born a proper child. You see, when the children of Israel was in Egypt and were slaves, they were there for 420 years. And their burdens became so great upon them, they started to cry out to God for deliverance. So God sent them a deliverer, Moses. We know the whole story, what transpired from the birth of Moses, how the Pharaoh wanted to kill all the kids from 2 years old just to get to Moses, but how God protected Moses and how Moses ended up in the house of Pharaoh. And we also know how Moses' mother was contracted to raise the boy, to take care of him. Now, during this process of taking care of Moses, she began to minister to him the word, his purpose on earth, the prophecy, why he was there. So Moses, by intellectual conception, understood the word of God. He knew that he was a special child. He knew that he was not an Egyptian, but he was an Israelite. Hallelujah. So Moses grew with this knowledge and also in the knowledge of the Egyptians' education. And he became a mighty man in Egypt. But the difference with Moses from what he heard was he had no experience. Moses had an intellectual conception of what his purpose was, but he had no revelation of what his purpose was. So at some point we see in Moses' life, Moses tried to fulfill the word of God by intellectual conception because he knew he was this deliverer based on what his mother told him. In other words, it seems like his mother, let's put it this way, the gospel was preached to Moses and Moses had intellectual conception of the word of God, but he had no revelation. So Moses, based on his zeal, on his self-determination, went ahead to fulfill the word of God outside of authority. He went to fulfill the word of God based on his own human intelligence, what he understood intellectually. Now, he had the right desire, but he was in the wrong position. So when he went ahead to deliver the children of Israel, he only killed one Egyptian. And when he did that, he found himself in trouble. So he ran away. We are speaking of knowing God by experience. Moses knew that he was the son of God, let's put it that way, but he only knew that by intellectual conception. He had no experience. So based on his intellectual conception, he went ahead to fulfill his purpose, doing God a service without it being the will of God, no revelation. And we see that Moses got in trouble. Even the very people that he went to deliver did not recognize him, did not recognize his position. But yet he had the word, but it was in an intellectual aspect, no revelation. So Moses had to run away.
he ran away and he dropped the whole thing. He got married, he had another life, he took another profession. Hallelujah. But at the time that God ordained, the pillar of fire came down. See, when Moses got into the presence of God, now he began to understand by revelation what his purpose was before he tried to do it by intellectual conception. But when he came in the presence of God, this was by revelation. God was telling him the same purpose. His mother told him the purpose why he was born, but he understood that by intellectual conception. But here in the presence of the angel of the Lord, God is telling him the same purpose. Now he's getting that by revelation, knowing God by experience. He got to know God by experience, and that changed everything. So the very Moses that ran from the presence of Pharaoh, we heard some time back that Pharaoh was regarded, he was so much respected according to history, that he was regarded as a god. So Moses knew the implication when he killed that Egyptian, he knew the implication what was coming for him. So he had to run for his life. Hallelujah. But after he got from in the presence of God, this is the very same Moses with the very same commission. He stood in the presence of Pharaoh, no fear. The revelation he got from God took away the fear. Now Moses knew who he really was. He had a revelation of his purpose. Hallelujah. So when he stood before Pharaoh, he commanded Pharaoh. This was the same authority that he was running from. But when he had a revelation, when he had an experience with God, now this authority meant nothing to Moses. Because Moses was above this authority. He stood before Pharaoh. He said, "Thus said the Lord God of Israel, let my people go." He now was commanding Pharaoh because Moses was standing in authority, knowing God by experience. Hallelujah. I must be honest tonight. I was struggling tonight. When Brother Elijah, I got a text. I had this thought. But I was struggling. It was, I got into my little study there in my studio to put this message together. And I was there from after 1 o'clock till like, I think after 6, getting to 7 o'clock. What's going on? I was struggling. That's why I came here tonight. Even tonight I was still battling with myself. I didn't want to preach this. I was trying to find something just to give exhortation. But I guess that's what God wants tonight. Hallelujah. God has a purpose. I didn't even want there could be no church now. I'll be honest. Because for some reason, let's be honest. It's not that I don't like church. But for tonight, I felt I was under pressure. I was just struggling. Because I didn't want to preach this tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Knowing God by experience. You see, when God wants you to do something, there's nothing you can do about it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, in the message, I am the resurrection and the life. Brother Branham said this. He said, you can get to so much on the word, you think. Oh, the word. The word, that's right. He said, but the gospel came not in word only, but through the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, until the word is made life. See? He said, wheat is all right in your hand, but you can never get a crop out of it. You got to bury it and let it take a new life. Is that right? Now the word is right. This is God's way, of course. But just the word, it kill it. The letter kill it. But the spirit give it life. See what I mean? Hallelujah. He said, now, in another message, speak to the rock. The prophet of God said, now the gospel is not altogether the word. This is the word of God, and all things must be based upon the word. If it isn't, it isn't true. He said, but Jesus said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He did not say teach the word. He said preach the gospel. So the gospel consists more than just teaching the word. For Paul, confirming that, said the gospel came to us not in word only, but through power. Demonstration of the Holy Spirit would come and demonstrate the gospel. Preach the word to a living reality. Hallelujah. He said, if you just receive the word by knowing the word, that doesn't do you any good. The letter kill it. The spirit given life. Then you must be born again. And then the Holy Spirit quickens the word to you. In other words, like a grain of corn, if it's laying in my hand, it's just a grain of corn. It'll never be nothing else. But bury it, it comes contaminated, molds, and then it brings up another grain of corn just like it. We're speaking about knowing God by experience. Hallelujah. We got to go more than knowing what Brother Brenham said. We got to go more than knowing what the scripture says. You have to know God by experience. That's why we were looking at Moses. Moses had intellectual conception of what the word was, what his position was. But it took more than knowing to put that thing into effect. He had to come in contact with the supernatural. Hallelujah. When he met God, that changed everything. The disciples, Jesus was training 12 men. They walked with the Lord Jesus 3.5 years. They had intellectual conception of the scripture. They was walking with the word, but they had no revelation. Knowing God by experience. Jesus told Peter, he said, before the cock crows 3 times, you will deny me. But Peter had a real desire for God. Peter told Jesus, oh, that would not happen. But when push came to shove, he denied the Lord Jesus because sheer determination will not do it. They saw Jesus. They knew who he was. Peter had the keys to the kingdom. He had a revelation. He said, thou art the Christ. But it goes beyond that. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. It goes beyond what you know. What Brother Brenham said, you need an experience. When that man came to cast out that devil, the demon told him, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? Hallelujah. Knowing God by experience. We have to come over. It takes more than knowledge. It takes a birth. That's what anchors you. Jesus said you must be born again. The prophet talked about how Moses came upon grounds. Moses had to come upon grounds. He was born a prophet, but he had to go through the process. There is a process. And everyone, every son and daughter of God has to come to this place. Knowing God by experience. In the message adoption, Brother Brenham said, he said, and then God gives his children new birth by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said they came right near and when they cleaned themselves up through Nazarene pilgrim holiness. He said, then come into the experience of Pentecost or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the restoration of the gifts. They went forth speaking with tongues and interpret tongues and giving gifts of healing and miracles and signs and wonders begin to accompany them. He said, now they are children. They are God's children. They are positionally in Christ. They become children by birth. And the new birth and the conversion itself is the Holy Ghost. You're not even converted till you get the Holy Ghost. That's what the scripture says. He said, Jesus told Peter, ask anyone, read a scripture. He was justified by believing on the Lord Jesus, become a follower, an apostle. Jesus gave him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. John 17:17. He sanctified them, gave them power, send them out, cast out devils and things, sanctified them. Sanctified them, Father, through the truth. Thy word is the truth. I sanctify myself, Jesus said, because of them. Now, in another message, hearing, recognizing, acting on the word, Brother Branham said, now anyone knows that the seal of God is the birthright, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed till the day of your redemption. When they were born again, they were filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the new birth. We know that. You are begotten of the Spirit. I'll admit that. But until you are born, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In another message, questions and answers on the Holy Ghost, the prophet said, the Holy Spirit, you are believing unto eternal life. But when the Holy Spirit comes, it is eternal life. You are believing unto. You are begotten of the Spirit as sanctification, but never born of the Spirit until the Holy Ghost comes in. That's correct. He said, a baby's got life in the womb of the mother. Little muscles are quivering. It's a life, but it's a different life when it breathes the breath of life into the nostrils. It's a different life he's talking about. Hallelujah. Having an experience with God. Hallelujah. Jesus told Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious man. He served God the best way he knew. But when he came in contact with the word, here is the word speaking to Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. You see, God has an order. There's a certain way to do things. And we have to come God's way. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That's God's law. So when man fell, no one could redeem man because somebody had to fulfill that. There's no shortcuts. But there was no one found worthy. So God had to come down himself and redeem man because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Brother Bram talked about how in the Old Testament, in the old days, when the people came to bring the sacrifice with the bulls and the goats, he said the life form of the man, I'm just paraphrasing, was higher than the life form of the animal that was breaking. So the blood of the animal could not take away the sin. It could only cover the sin. That's Aaronic priesthood. But there was coming a lamb, God himself, higher life form, that would take away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. So when Christ came and shed his blood, take away the sin, now how do you become identified with that sacrifice? When you receive Christ, the life in the blood, not the chemical, but the life comes into the believer because that's a higher form of life. This is eternal life. That identifies you with your sacrifice. See, Calvary came and brought Pentecost. They believed the Lord Jesus, but in order to be identified, they had to get to Pentecost. So when they got to Pentecost, the life that was in that blood came into them. Then they became sons of God, knowing God by experience. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brother Bram said in questions and answers, he said, now before you receive the Holy Ghost, you are believing unto eternal life, but you do not have eternal life until you receive the Holy Ghost, because it's eternal life. The Holy Ghost is God. It's God's life in you. Then you've got eternal life. You do not understand that now. See? Look, see? You are believing unto. Wait, here's a good thing. You women, excuse me for it for a second or two. He said, make a point. A mother, there's life, but still, that baby isn't born. He was talking about the mother. Mother that's conceived, carrying a child. He said, but if you treat that baby right and follow the rules of nature, that baby will be born normal. But if you don't apply everything to the rules of nature, you let a hard bruise or a hit or something take place, it's going to ruin it. It'll kill the baby before it's born. So we need to follow God's laws and instructions. There's a pattern. We talked about that the last time. There's a way to receive things. You see, God has given us this great gift, but there's a pattern to follow. There's a way to go about it. You cannot go anyhow. Knowing God by experience. It's that experience that keeps you. That's your anchor. That's what happened to Moses. We see, if we look at the life of David, David was just a little fella, but he was taking care of his father's sheep. He had some experience with God. He knew what it was to be in a battle. But on the battlefield, the army of God, the army of Israel, they were going through a problem. That was this guy called Goliath. According to scripture, he was a warrior from his youth, or what Brother Branham said. And they couldn't overcome this guy. So when Moses came on the scene and he realized what was happening, you see, Moses wasn't afraid of Goliath. He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" He did not care about Goliath's testimony. There's only one testimony that David had, what he had in the backside of the desert. He had an encounter with God. He knew what it was to be in a battle. You see, the army knew they were the army of God. They knew they were the people of God. But that's by knowing. But here is David knowing the same God by experience. So when a challenge came up, Israel, the army couldn't face. Let's put it to Saul. Saul couldn't face Goliath. But David was never afraid because he had an experience. He knew what this God can do, what he's capable of. So he started to testify, to let Saul know what's up. He said, "I was taking care of my father's sheep. A lion came. I killed him. Then a stronger power came back. I killed him." It won't be no difference with this guy. You see where David was coming from? He went back to his testimony. That was his anchor. That took him with fear. Because of the experience. You see, it's the experience that anchors you. The Bible said Abraham believed God because Abraham had an experience with God. He did not stagger because he knew the one who made a promise who he was, because he had an experience with him. It's okay to believe intellectually, but we need to go beyond that. We're in 2019. We got to get down to God. We got to get down with God. We got to get to know who this one is. To know him is life. Knowing God by experience. Every individual, you have access. It's up to you. You see, it's not how well you live. Being nice and doing nice things, that's wonderful. Some of the people try to describe Christianity by their understanding. You got to describe Christianity by what God says it is. It's not how nice you can be or how much you can smile and be quiet. It's the experience. That's what makes you a Christian. But a lot of times people miss this. They put their own. That's what Moses did. He figured, if I'm the deliverer, I can do this. But he failed to realize something. He needed the experience. He had the knowledge, but he had no experience. So based on the knowledge, he went by his knowledge. And he failed miserably. He got in trouble. But when he met God and got the experience, that changed everything. Hallelujah. Knowing God by experience. That's what makes a Christian. God is a reality. This message you believe has to be confirmed. The Bible says Abraham believed God. It was imputed for righteousness. But God. God did something else. What could Abraham do but just believe? What can you do? The prophet said, just believe. But God confirmed his faith by giving him a seal of circumcision. That was the confirmation. God was the one testifying. This one is mine. Now we are Abraham's seed. We have that same faith. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't know I was going to preach like this. All right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Knowing God by experience. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody's claiming the word today. The word, the word. The word is not the letter only. It's a person. A lot of times we miss that. We said the word, we know the quote. We try to do our best with the word. The word is a person. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. Who's the truth? He said, I am the truth, the person. You will know the truth, the person, and the truth, the person, will set you free if you continue in my word. The gospel is not word only, but it's power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. 2019, what are we doing? You got to know God by experience. That's where my anchor lies. That's where my faith lies. Every individual has an anchor. You got to know God. The pastor can't do it for you. He can only point you to the one. But you got to go have the encounter with him. It's God that's in charge of this thing. It's not us. It's not Brother Elijah. He's here because God placed him here to preach the gospel. That's it. If God never called him, he won't be here. So it's God that's in charge. When God was leading Israel, it wasn't Moses. It was God. It was the angel of the Lord. Remember, our brother was here from Nigeria. He preached how when Moses ran from Egypt, he knew a better way. Because he left Egypt before. But Moses wasn't in charge. It was the angel of the Lord leading. So they got stuck at the Red Sea. But Moses never questioned. Because he had an encounter. So he knew the one who was in charge, who he was dealing with. Amen. Knowing God by experience. Just a little exhortation to encourage ourselves, to check ourselves and come back to ourselves and get into the presence. We heard about prayer the last time. You get into the presence of God for yourself. You got to know this Father you have. You got to know him for yourself. You don't need no one to tell you who God is to you. When you have a relationship with someone, I don't need nobody to tell you. I know Brother Mark. I don't need nobody to tell me about Brother Mark or his family. I know him. He's my brother. He's my friend. So I don't need no one to tell me to give me a history lesson about the brother's family because I know him. So if anybody comes and says there's no person as Brother Mark, he doesn't exist, I know you're talking nonsense because I know the man. I know his family. You see? So when you know God by experience and people doing whatever, it don't bother you. Because you have an experience with God. So you are walking, the Bible says, inner walk with God. When Enoch was walking with God, whatever was happening around Enoch didn't bother Enoch. He was walking with God. Prophet said, I have to know what I'm doing. When Brother Brennan stood against the whole world, these theologians were preaching for the prophet came out of sin. He stood against everybody. Why? Because he knew what he was talking about. He had an experience. He knew he was commissioned. So he didn't fear nothing. It wasn't him, the man. But he had an experience, so he knew he had authority. He was standing in authority. That's where his faith was resting. It didn't matter. People came and tested him. We know that. It didn't move him. He didn't just care and say, oh, I'm sorry. But he stood his ground because he knew who was with him. The bride has to be in the same position. We have to stand our grounds. You see, we have to know who we are. We have to know who we are. We have to know what authority we have. We have to know what we have. That's how you walk. Amen. Knowing God by experience is manifesting time. The fruits are on the vine. See, everybody, people showing their colors. A lot of people claim, I believe the message. Where are those people today? It's manifesting time. You either believe or you're not. You can hide for so long. You can try to live right and do the nice things. That's got nothing to do with it. You got to know God. You see, don't try to change your life. Make yourself available to God. Let him come in and he will do the changing. You can't change yourself. You can't save yourself. God placed that seed gene in there. So when he pulled you by that word, make yourself available to God. And he will do everything for you. Knowing God by experience. Amen. This is what Paul was talking about. The letter, kill it. Knowing the scriptures, knowing the quote. Only that's not it. But the Spirit. The Spirit comes to that word and quickens that word. Makes it alive. It's got to be here, not just here. Here, a lot of people know it here. A lot of people are Christians here. But there's no experience here. This is what makes you a Christian, not this. This only shows you can read. That's why you have all kinds of stuff going on in the message. No experience. When a man once meets God and comes in contact with God, he knows what this message is. He stands right there. Not because of this, because of this. Everybody's got to come to that place. When you truly believe, the prophet said, I think it's Matthew 5:24. Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Truly believing. Not just here, but here. Hallelujah. Thank God to wake him up. I didn't expect this, but. So I just want to encourage us tonight. We got to get to the place to know God by experience. Don't depend on Brother Elijah. He himself had to come to that place. We know his testimony. Every one of us have to have our own testimony. The Bible says two in the field, one's taking one left, two in bed, one taking one left. We're individuals. We talk about the super life. God has given us super sense. How do you get the super sense? Not by intellectual. It's knowing God by experience. Then God take that super sense and place that thing there with the Holy Ghost. We got to know God by experience. That's what makes you a Christian. And you won't need no one to tell you you're a Christian, but you know because you're walking with him. You got to know who you are. It's not about going to church. It goes beyond that. These things are wonderful. It's nice to come to church, believe the message, that's the truth, it's Christ. But we need to go beyond that. Faith is a real substance the prophet talked about. It's not something that you try to imagine and picture, it's a real thing. But you need to have an experience with God to receive these things. You got to do it for yourself. Knowing God by experience. We're in 2019. It's wonderful to come to church. But all we're doing is just coming to church and going through the routine. Then it's not doing us no good. Because you got to come in contact. I said this thing before. We must come in contact with the supernatural. You got to know God by experience. The disciples, the walk with Jesus, they experienced the power of God, but they had to go to Pentecost. There's no way around it. Even Mary, the Mary that the Catholic says the mother of Jesus, she, the prophet's talking about, she had to go to Pentecost. This is a very religious age. A lot of deception. You need that anchor. Where Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. No matter how much you know, no matter what you do, that which is born of flesh is flesh. But that which is born of spirit is spirit. Paul said, though I have all knowledge, I can move mountains, get my body to be burned. If I don't have this charity, it won't do me no good. The giver, that's who we need. We need to walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus, that's the secret. If we're spending our time trying to follow, some of people follow the message, do and don'ts. Oh, don't do this, don't do that. We'll be checking. Don't just walk with Jesus. Come as you are, but just come and seek the face of God. Seek for that experience. Jacob and Esau. Esau was the nice guy. Jacob was a shyster. But Jacob had one desire, that birthright. He didn't care how he got it. All he wanted, he said that was the main thing. We see how even he got it. He deceived his father. He was deceptive. But the thing was, he got it. When Esau came to himself, it was too late. He wept with bitter tears, but it was gone. Knowing God by experience. That's where we're at. That's the reality of the thing. That what makes you a Christian. That what makes you to believe this message, that's what makes you this message to hold you. It's God that keeps you. You can't keep God, you can't keep the message. The message keeps you. We have to get to the place to know God. That's where my faith rests. I make a lot of mistakes. I do a lot of wrong things. But there is something there. That's what keeps me going. There's an anchor. I didn't do that. It was the grace of God. It's a gift. We must get to that place to meet God. Hallelujah. But Brent talked about how Moses was the one that came upon grounds. He was the one that had the experience. Nobody could take that from him. You see, somebody can preach you into the message, and then someone who has even better knowledge can sway you out. It depends on who knows more and who knows how to talk well. But when you have the experience, it don't matter because you don't even need both. God himself now has come and confirmed this thing to you, and that's all you need. So whatever people say, well, it doesn't even move you because you know they don't even know what they're talking about. Because now you have an experience. That's your anchor right there. Nothing can move you from that. The anchor. I believe that's why people are falling away. No anchor. People have had knowledge. People master this message, master the quotes, master certain things. But sheer determination won't do it. We saw it with Peter. Jesus told him, but he was arguing with Jesus. I would not deny Peter. And he meant what he said. But his flesh, you see, we're not wrestling in flesh and blood. No matter how much you determine how well you mean, you got to go beyond that. We're not wrestling in flesh and blood. It takes something greater to keep you. No matter how hard you try to keep yourself, you might go for a while, but you might get tired. You will fall somewhere because it's flesh. That which is born of flesh is flesh. But that which is born of spirit. Amen. Hope it's a blessing to you. It came out all over the place tonight. But praise the Lord. Let us be encouraged tonight. We're in the right place. Let's go all the way. God's got you. He just wants you to make yourself available. God is waiting on you to make yourself available. The things we're looking for, he's there waiting. But he wants us to make ourselves available. In Joel 2:20, he said, I will pour out my spirit upon all. He said it. He made a promise, so he will keep it. But he wants you to make yourself available. That's all we can do is make ourselves available. Amen. The Lord bless you tonight. May we stand, please. Hallelujah. Knowing God by experience. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Just a simple word of exhortation. Lord, you know what I went through today. I don't know why, but I was struggling so much today, Lord. I didn't want to preach this message. I didn't want to come to church today. I was I felt so under pressure. But that was the only thought that you gave me. I tried to find something else just to give exhortation, but this is stuck with me, so you have a purpose for it. Lord, forgive me for being the way I am today. I'm just being honest, Lord. But I thank you for whatever you ordain, your will come to pass. You ordained it this way, Lord. It had to be this way. You brought the start, Lord, for us to hear it, to have an experience with you, to walk with you knowing who we are. Father, I pray that may you take your word that you've brought forth tonight. May you quicken it into our hearts. May we really consider these things, oh God, and learn to walk with you. Learn to seek your face. Give us desires, oh God, to seek your face. To not rest till we get to that place that we'll know, that we'll know, that we'll know, oh God. And that we can walk because we are individuals. And we got to walk with you, Lord, individually. May you help us, oh God, to know you by experience. Oh God, we don't want to be intellectual Christians. We don't just want to know the quotes and the scriptures, but we want to know the person. We want to be a part of you, Lord. We want to know you. Paul said that I may know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. We want to know you, Lord. We cannot live these things by ourselves. God, may you come and take a hold of our lives. God, vindicate this word to us. We want to be witnesses. The disciples, when they went to Pentecost, they became witnesses. Oh, God, help us to be witnesses in this last day. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Make me more like you. Jesus, make me more like you. Make me more. Brother Mark. Like thee, Jesus, make me
like you. Thank you, brother. Give me a heart that's filled with love and make me more like thee. Heavenly Father, just make me more like thee. Jesus, make me more like thee. And give me a heart that's filled with love and make me more like thee. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. For I could never, ever outlove my Lord. Oh, I want to live.